Coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach, you're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, sitting here with South Bay J. Cruz.
What's happening?
And we are Aspel on the Esplanade. Well, you're not. You're kind of with me. Whatever. Anyway, the name of the show, I guess that what it is. So anyway, how you doing? I missed last week, being a granddad.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah. When I missed, you put a rerun on?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't...
But
I,
oftentimes the week before, because it's semi-current, or occasionally I'll go back into the archives and I'll play the show with your niece, because it's not me and it's someone else, and it was a good show.
Which show? My niece.
Your niece.
Oh.
She was in about almost 2 years ago.
Danielle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny Sue.
Yeah.
That's right, Danny Sue. Yeah, she's all
over. Well, every now and then I'll... pull that one out.
Oh, cool.
Just because, you know, why I don't need to be on, you know, it's a good show, and it's kind of fun to hear just her on there instead
okay.
of me.
I'll have to tell her that so she can tune in more often. Anyway, yeah, here we are. I was grandbaby day again.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I said, I guess I got to get out of here. But I was doing work around the house. And I said, well, if I don't go to the radio show, I can continue pulling weeds.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
fun.
That wasn't any fun. So I got in the shower, came up here, because tomorrow I am having my 22nd surgery.
Ow.
And it is to fix my rotator cuff.
Right.
My right rotator cuff. It's been bothering me for about 2 years, but it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember knew this, but, you know, my right arm's kind of dead anyway. It's been dead for like 30 years. For this neck operation I had in 93.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out so well. And a lot of it, I could have made it better, but I was too lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to physical therapy. And I went for about 3 hours and never went back. So I probably could have got my arm in better shape. Anyway, after another surgery, blah, 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 go to the physical therapist. And I was asked to stop calling it rehab.
Mm.
And I go, I'm going to rehab. What for? What'd you do? Well,
what do they want you to call it?
No, I mean, my friends and my wife. It's not rehab. It's like you're drunk. Well,
so it's
have been in the past, so whatever. It's just it's physical therapy, rehab.
That's
I don't
it.
Know.
PT.
PT. And she had me doing these exercises, and it works out pretty good. Now, when you're in your 70s, you're not building up really, not going to be Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
But, you know, you got to get a little more lean and all this stuff, which I'm trying to do. Anyway, I'm doing all these exercises with about an 8-pound weight.
Yeah.
Laying on my back, and you put the exercise, you put the bell straight, barbell straight up, go back over your shoulder, like parallel, then you lift up, and you go down to your knees with it.
Okay.
Just big, a half circle, but holding it up.
Like this?
Yeah, but you're laying on your back.
And you kind of,
so
okay.
It's right above you. And I'm coming over my shoulder, coming up to the front, and I hear clunk. I felt a clunk.
In your arm? Shoulder.
Yeah, in my shoulder. Yeah. And it moved. Clunk, clunk.
Oh, boy.
And I went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't say, oh, boy. I went, oh, shit.
Of course.
And it wasn't that bad. And I'm thinking, well, I just probably pulled a muscle or whatever. But, you know, I finally went to the same doctor that I was with, a group that probably has... it's probably the reason they're going to want to cut Medicare. I don't know. I've used them very religiously. Anyway, I felt a click, so I go to the doctor, and he does an MRI. Uh-huh. It took about a year to get it looked at.
Wow.
I just say, it'll get better, and I'm not pitching for the Dodgers.
Sure.
So about a year ago, I go get it looked at, and he said, yeah, you ripped it. You stupid shit. And I'm going, yeah, I know. I'm not pitching. I'm not, you know, whatever. He goes, well, you don't have to do anything about it as long as you're not, it doesn't bother you. Well, it's beginning bothersome.
Yeah.
It wears on and on and on. I still try and work out that shoulder so I can get stronger. At any rate, finally go and see him again. He goes, well, what have you done? You've made it worse.
Yeah.
So we've got to fix it. So he's going to go in tomorrow. And I have to have, he said, it's arthroscopic, so I don't have to, it's a cleanup.
Okay.
They're not tearing me apart so I can go, like, you know, be the starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just do arthroscopic. Hopefully it works. Clean it up, he said. I should only be wearing the brace, the arm sling, for about a week.
Okay.
Instead of 6 weeks.
All right, that's the better prognosis.
I'm hoping.
Prognosis.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, so as you know, I'll take my own. I take the advice I give to people. Don't be a hero.
Yeah.
Tomorrow when I go to leave the outpatient, it's an outpatient place. It's
okay.
Over in Torrance. I've had a couple of things there before. He's asked you, how do you feel? I feel horrible.
Yeah.
Max it out. Advice from a pro at this, a guy who's taken got a lot of surgeries. You know, I don't do downers. I don't do drugs, really.
Right.
But I take them. When the doctor offers them, take them.
Sure.
Put them in your pantry if you have to.
Yeah, you may need them.
You come in handy.
Yep.
You know, and they don't give you the good ones anymore.
No.
You know, you don't get the Tom Petty stuff for
that. Tom Petty stuff.
I don't get the rock star death. But
like the whole time, Tom Petty, you're just like, I know this guy does more drugs than he's letting on. He was that guy. I mean, great musician, but like he was perpetually stoned.
He sounded like a druggie.
Hey, he's perpetually stoned. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and his hero was Dylan, who, you know, that's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, just basically senior.
I don't know how you could go perform at a concert when you're loaded with
I don't either.
Pot. You know, I could see you doing it on coke.
Right.
Uppers, you know,
or even
rushing around the stage.
Yeah.
But you don't be mellow.
You know, a lot of musicians I know, you know, certainly enjoy smoking, but a lot of them go, I don't do it before a show. I don't want to screw up. That's
right,
for after
yeah.
the show.
That's true.
I mean, a lot of them, it just gets, they start thinking too much. And when you're playing a set list or planning your band, it needs to flow. If you're thinking, you're not going to have the best show because you're in your head. You know, you want to just be feeling, grooving, and be part and just be one with the music. You should have rehearsed it enough where you almost, a music teacher said, you don't practice so that you get it right. You practice so much that you can't get it wrong.
Hmm.
You know, that you know, like you watch someone do like a martial art demonstration.
Right.
They've done that 1,000 times. They've done it like 1,000 times after they learned it, and it looks great, you know, but that's because they practice it and they keep up with it, so they're not thinking. It's a flow and it's instinct, and most live musicians are kind of like that, you know, so, you know.
It's like Jack Maher,
yeah,
just plays along with the flow.
Exactly, you know, and they're so well rehearsed that they don't rehearse. They just, you know, play live, you know, which is, you know, a great luxury kind of to have. You know, you're actually getting paid to play instead of paying to play at a place.
That's true.
You know,
well, it's your livelihood,
or you know, imposing on someone, or you yeah. know, one person will have to drive or they'll have to rent a, you know,
you buy your way into a gig. No. Well, you know, Jack can do that. The other day, Jack Maher from Feed the Kitty and Pet Project, they were playing around with a bunch of other guys. I didn't go to the party. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw something.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Too.
Randy Wigdon, who wrote the song Wonder.
Okay.
That Feed the Kitty does.
Yeah.
And he had some kind of birthday party. And they had all these musicians there that I know, but I don't go see it. Jackson was wonderful. They were jamming the whole time, and they were in the backyard.
Right.
And those guys had fun.
Cool.
And somebody asked me the other day, goes, how come you weren't there? You were busy? I said, no, we weren't invited. Ooh. And it's true. I said, well, that's a fact. I said, we couldn't have gone anyway.
Yeah.
Couldn't have gone. But I looked around on the pictures. I said, I didn't know most of the people.
Yeah.
And the guy went, you know everybody. I said, no, I don't, and I wasn't invited. I don't crash. I know some people here that crashed.
Yeah.
I don't crash parties. It was funny. But
crashing parties.
Yeah, I'm too old for that shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, you watch Jack, they start just jamming along.
Uh-huh.
He can go, I'm digressing again, but he can go from one song to another, U2 to Johnny Cash, back to U2.
Mm-hmm.
It all sounds like the same song.
Yeah.
And you realize how close all these songs are.
Yeah.
They have a lot of, Bertha's, do that's in about not Bertha that tune right there, but anyway, that's in about 5 of their songs, and
yeah.
I pointed out to Jack, I go, you get copyrighted. And so in their list of songs, Feed the Kitties, I guess it's a famous riff that
mm-hmm.
you musicians steal,
or there's only so many chords
without noticing,
you know, but that's one thing, like when they get to copywriting music and stuff. You can't copyright a chord progression. There's only like 12 chords.
Right.
You know, and there's like, so there's not, you know, I'll be playing a song, and again, I'll learn a song and I'll be like, hey, that's like another song that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, well, there it is. And a lot of times I'll, there's a part to a song by Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine. And mm-hmm. anyway, when I learned it, I go, hey, that's similar to an AC/DC song I know that has that same. And I go, I know for a fact the Guns N' Roses guys listen to the AC/DC guys growing up. So somewhere in there, that riff subconsciously got in there, whether they knew it or not. And it's not like the main riff to a song, but I and that same riff is also part of that song that they dedicate to you and Pam, I'll Melt With You. When that, the future is bright on the wide, yeah. That part, that chord progression is in AC/DC's, I forget the song right now, but it's on the Highway to Hell album in Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. And one day, years ago, we had another guitar player and we're messing around on that song and he goes, it's Sweet Child of Mine. And like medley. And I go, oh, okay. And I just knew exactly what he meant. And okay. I was like, you know, playing. So there's a lot of chords in a lot of songs that are super similar. And that's how, you know, there's a band called Pine Mountain Logs that plays around here from time to time. And I think the guys are actually in their main band is Venice. But when they play, it's like a whole show of medleys. Like they'll be over here in a song, then that key change will go into
like that
here,
kind of stuff. Okay.
And then they'll be over here, and then they'll finish the first song, and they'll take you like two or three songs, and you know them, but they're all like very intertwined. Like, you know, they know that, okay, that part is the same as that song, and they'll jump into other songs at those parts, which is really interesting for a cover band, because, you know, that's how you discover it. You're like, oh, it's the same as...
They're making stuff up, but that means they're still good.
Yeah. You know, making, and...
They're not writing their own music, but they're...
You know, we've done that
I like that.
We got a song we're going to play coming up Saturday that does that.
Your own song, or is it?
It's a cover, and the two covers, you know, same key and pace, and, you know, a lot of similarities.
So you're holding off the shock value. You're not going to say, yeah, just wait and see.
Well,
I think I can make it. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
We have, I think we will see what my shoulder is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping just to be out and about.
Yeah, really?
I do have some work to do on Thursday. I don't have to be there, but,
uh-huh.
You know, sitting around watching TV is not really what I'm not in my wheelhouse, especially if grandkids are there.
It's normally not, but I got the Major League Baseball package.
Oh, that's right.
I am so into baseball right now. It is not even funny.
But the
bummer is I don't get Dodgers or Angel games.
Well, come to my house. If it's on, we got it, Pam. We don't leave the house. We don't do anything. I go, and then she got so mad the other day. They lost their first game. They're not going to go 160-0 or whatever their thing
they
is.
They lost that one in spectacular fashion, though.
16? Yeah, so
their worst home loss in history or something.
Well, that's fine. I said, you can't keep it up.
I know.
It's just they don't have Viagra for baseball players and that stuff. They're not going to rise to the occasion every time.
Yeah, that's why baseball, it's... One-third of the season, you're going to lose. One-third of the season, you're going to win. It's that middle third that makes the difference.
Separates them out.
You look at the worst team, they win 50 games. I mean, the White Sox last year, they lost 110 games. They still won 50. So that's almost one out of three.
Well,
you know,
well,
and then the good teams, they win two out of three. That's where the Dodgers were. They won 100-something games. That's like two out of three.
It's people expect them to win every game, though. They're thinking, remember, people are protesting. Oh, the Dodgers are fixed. They bought all the talent.
Yeah.
Well, their talent's always injured anyway.
Right.
I hope that they're going to win the World Series again, but you never know.
That's the thing. And even a friend of mine who's a casual sports fan, he was like, you know, when you get to the playoffs, it's like whoever's the hot team.
Whoever's hot. And it's just amazing how these guys, they try every game, but it's the only sport. Really, that you can lose all these games and still win a championship.
Yes.
If you lose a couple games in NFL, you're just out.
Oh, and especially college football. I remember Notre Dame lost their opener and the quarterbacks. Our season's done. I'm like, good grief. It was game one. You lost by two.
It's so college. You'll get me going.
Same thing. That's fixed.
Will they pay? What's that called? Image and likeness?
NIL, yeah.
The guy quit the team today or yesterday?
No, Tennessee guy.
I don't know. He said he wanted more money on his college. Mm-hmm. The coach said, F you, get out of here.
Yeah.
He should. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with these guys making money, but it's not supposed to be like the NFL.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the baseball, you lose 50 games, you're still going to win the World Series.
That's true.
And it's just the nature of the sport.
Really good.
But
scene.
Pam wants to see it every game, and she gets mad if they don't win. And it's always on.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be on. It was on last night. It's always on.
I always have the radio on, you know, because there's always the pregame show and the postgame show.
Yeah.
And I try to catch as much of the game as I can. I'm a big Rick Monday fan. He's a great broadcaster,
yeah.
You know. Always has been a class
really
act.
Good.
And from his saving the burning flag, against
the
I mean, that picture comes up on my Facebook feed, and there's these two guys with a lighter, and I'm
like, whatever happened to those two assholes that did that?
You know, the cops had to.
I'm sure they did, but those guys, now they're going to live in infamy now, and they're on TV all the time.
Yeah.
So who knows? But yeah, you don't run in the baseball field.
No.
But if you hit them too hard, then they get to sue you.
Yeah.
You can't touch the bad guys anymore.
I know. I saw another video, speaking of people running out in the field. The video is like, don't propose for a wedding on the baseball field. And this guy's at Dodger game, and he's out there. He's got like that Dodger gold, you know, that special one. And he's out there. He's decked to the nines, hat, gold jersey. He's in center field. He's down on one knee. He opens up the ring, and then out of one side, you just see the security guard come in, and it's like watching Terry Bradshaw back in the 70s getting hit by somebody.
Nailed the guy. Just nailed. Don't go on the field, you stupid idiots.
You're right next to probably your girlfriend, fiance, just right there. Just walk into the beer aisle. Get on your knee there. I don't know. I've never proposed, so.
You
know.
I couldn't get that drunk. I've been drunk, but I wouldn't get on the field. No, that's no way.
No.
It's usually some drunks just like to go hide in their own little world and just have a social talk, you know, with somebody.
Yeah.
Other drunks want to be the center of attention.
Right.
You know, so.
That's funny.
The center of attention.
I'm more of the hide in the cave kind of drunk.
Yeah, I like just hang out and do my own thing, but it's been a while anyway, so.
Yeah.
Geez, I wonder if I'm going to ever drink again. That song, Feed the Kitty, will I ever drink again?
Yeah.
You never know. Well, you know, this is also tax day.
Yeah.
My income is just passive. It was leftover money.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to do it for free on H&R Block. I went online, did it myself. First time ever. Just put it on there. Boom, boom, boom. Took me like 3 minutes. And I was going to itemize a few things. But it would have cost me like $50.
Yeah.
And I would get less money.
Okay.
I mean, I'd pay some taxes. Right now, I'm not paying any taxes. So I do pay. You pay taxes all the time. You're waking up, you pay taxes.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's tax day. If you haven't paid them, I wouldn't worry about it. They'll find an excuse not to charge you anyway. But
they give California a little bit of a
wildfire
break. Amnesty period. So I think we're due or something.
Yeah, those wildfires have been a problem, man. The people are all moving down South Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're raising the rent. And I still have I still have people complaining about my April Fool's joke.
I know. That's.
I have people. You ruin the neighborhood. One guy, he made a comment on Alex Smith. So if you don't know, on Facebook, I put a sign, official sign, out in front of my house, and it is a sign. We got it. It was an empty sign. I picked up at City Hall with a contact I still have, and I went to Michael's. No.
Oh yeah.
What's the other place?
Hobby Lobby. You said
Hobby Lobby. I bought the letters. I put it on, kind of crooked. My contractor is Jerry Garcia, and the date's April 1st. I'm building 8 units, and people bought it.
Yeah.
A lot of people, 4th of July, ha, 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 whatever. 4th of July, April 1st.
Right.
I'm cracking up going, but other people go crazy. And Alex Smith did a voiceover, so to speak. Did you see it?
He had
real estate stuff out there. Didn't even mention my name. This cop that an old Hermosa cop that I had a little mini conflict with before.
Yeah.
And then he's since apologized.
Uh-huh.
He pulled another one, some stupid statement, to Alex. He goes, you are such an effing tool. And dude, you can ruin our neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. I wanted to say what's ruining our neighborhoods is a lack of funds because we have to pay so much money for all you ex-cops.
No.
On your retirement. I let that one go, though.
Yeah.
And you know, the only guys without a care in the world, they're not going to ever touch that kind of retirement.
Right.
But he lit up Alex.
Didn't
light me up. And then Alex went, it's the 4th of July. I mean, why do I keep saying 4th of July? It's April Fool's.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, my God, I'm always wrong. I love being wrong on this. So he admitted he was wrong. And I went, well, apparently you're really gifted at being wrong. And he took it all down. He's been wrong a few times before. I've called him out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he crosses the line on his wrongness.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't even apologize. Just take it down. I mean, uh-huh. Anyway, but Facebook is a disaster. You know, most people are pretty smart enough to know a joke, but it just cracks me up.
Well, knowing you, like, I think I got up that morning, I'm like, today's Steve's going to, you know, I knew you were going to be on air, and I'm like, oh, what's going to happen today? You know, I'm even prepared. You know, you gave me a text this morning, I'm like, okay, you know, but like April 1st, I would have been, what do we got?
What do we got? Even watch what he's doing here. Even, yeah, I've been sick, I've been dying, I've been whatever, and I still like my April Fool's jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And people go, say, April Fool's, that's so lame. You're too old for that stuff. I go, well, I look forward. It's my New Year's.
Now, my personal pet peeve on a holiday that I think maybe people have passed their expiration date on is adults who dress up for Halloween.
Holy shit, yes.
And it really kind of hit a personal point last year when the band had a show and it was on the adult Halloween weekend. It wasn't on the 31st. That was like on a Monday.
Right.
So, of course, Saturday night, all the adults have to dress up like someone they're not and act weird. And I'm just like, I kind of left Halloween in the past. I think 14, I was pushing it, and
I've dressed up a few times. You're right. As an adult, probably more times than I did as a kid.
Well, yeah. We've had more years, but just, I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know, it's one of those things. After you've done it, say 50 times, do you need to continue? You know.
Well, it's cool. You got to. It's got to be a cool outfit. Yeah. You can't just put a mask.
Some people do it right. Some people don't. And I was just like,
yeah, I get stuff. I don't know. You've usually been a dead or Grateful Dead or a hippie or something like that. This year I didn't. I haven't done it in a few years. I think since the pandemic, I don't think I've done it.
Yeah, I think my favorite Halloween was at school. You know, and they're like, oh, we're going to have a costume contest. And I'm like, all right. So, smart ass me, I'm up there, no costume. And the teacher's like, where's your costume? I'm like, I'm in costume. She's like, what are you supposed to be? And I pulled out this fake pair of, like, cheap little handcuffs. And I go, I'm an undercover cop.
Oh, what'd she say?
She was like, okay, that's technically a costume, but you didn't really make much of an effort. And I'm like, well, technically, what does an undercover cop look like?
Nothing. You want to fit right in.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm in costume. If I was an undercover cop, I'd be dressed for work and be busted.
You'd look like a I do now.
You know, and then, of course,
you got the hair. You got that look. You could be a narc.
You know, I actually wanted to be a detective for a long time. And, you know, I thought, you know, cleaning up bad guys would be a good thing to do. Until I was on a ride-along, and the cop said, okay, you know, watch the radio and call me if something happens. I'm like, I just got deputized. I know bullets are next. I don't want to do this.
I don't want to be cops.
You know, I mean, am I getting a gun? A little firearm training? Bulletproof vest?
Well, you would if you joined. If you were a cop, you would.
Right. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and then that kind of, you know, it's like a reality. And also that same night, we were driving, and there was this area in town where, you know, high school students, of which I was one, used to like to go up on weekends,
right,
have a little six-pack of low and brown and whatnot, and you know, we're driving out there, and the policeman goes, hey, do you happen to know this car? And I'm like, okay, my future would be, you know, ratting at all my friends that I grew up with. I just don't know if that's the future. No. I don't mind being a cop elsewhere where I don't know people, but they want to put you in a town you know because you know all the people that do the bad things.
Yeah, you don't want to be a cop in your own town. Well, no. Cops I know, if you're a nice guy, you can be a cop, or a lady, you can be a cop anywhere.
Sure.
And unfortunately, there's a few assholes out there that,
yeah,
but not that many, I don't think, but it's, most people are cool.
I think a lot of them just get, not corrupted, but they just get jaded because they're probably like I was, you know, a little bit of altruism. I want to help. I want to do good. There's too much crime. Let's help that out. Get rid of it. And then, you know, you're out there and you maybe are arresting a lot of people. And then, you know, they maybe you see him next week doing the same damn thing that you just arrested him
yeah,
for.
Yeah, you can't touch anybody. You can smash and grab nowadays.
Yeah.
Hit and run. There's no consequences.
Yeah, now it's like, you know.
Get off my lawn. If I'm an old man, now there's no consequences. That's what I sound like. Oh, my. There's, back in day, it was more stern.
Speaking of old man, I was telling you right before. So I made a pact with myself that I wanted to go to Major League Baseball games more often. Angel games are cheaper and sometimes easier to get into. You know, look at Dodgers, expensive game, and I can get better seats at an Angel game. In fact, I saw the Dodgers play the Angels in the exhibition. So I had tickets for the following weekend, and it was actually a warm summer Sunday. It was like 85 in Anaheim, and here it was like 65. I'm like, today's the day to go. I'm paying for sunshine, if nothing else.
Get me out of this fog, I know.
So I'm sitting there. I got nice sunny seats. And, you know, cool people at Angel Game. I mean, they're just Angel fans, and, you know, they're playing Cleveland. Anyway, so there's these two guys in front of me. They're probably 20s to 30. You know, they have one of them had a small child, baby, probably three or younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, throughout the game, people are getting up, going to the concessions, getting snacks, whatnot, coming back. And, you know, it's like a theater. You always kind of lift your leg or stand up and let the three people by, you know, when you're kind of sprawled out and got your legs up on the seat. So these guys come back in, and I see them, and they're coming down my row, which is slightly more empty, and then they're going to step over into the row in front, which is row one, I'm row two. And I just kind of go to lift my leg and let him through, and the guy goes, oh, don't worry, you're okay, Pops.
Pops.
And I'm like, Pops?
He didn't call you shithead.
He didn't, you know, and you know, I wasn't wearing, like, team gear to be like, ah, you stupid Cleveland fan, or, you know, whatever, you know, or Giants fan or something. But I was just like, Pops.
Pops, we'll get over it. You are Pops.
You know, and I'm like, I guess I'm just there. I mean, I do have a great gray beard that stands out pretty prominently.
You got your long hair, you got your gray
beard.
That's
about all he saw, because the sun was here, so I had my baseball hat turned this way with the lid kind of covering this side of the face.
Yeah.
So all he really saw was my gray goatee and what other elderly signals he picked up on.
You're reading too much into this.
I am. But so the next day,
that's funny.
I saw a Willie Stargell baseball card posted on one of these baseball groups I follow, and I commented going, you know, I actually got called Pops at a baseball game the other day, and then I saw this card this morning, and, you know, the minute I got called Pops, I thought, well, Willie Stargell was a cool guy, and that was his nickname. That was a good team.
Oh, really?
Back in
okay.
The
yeah, yeah,
Willie Pops or Papa Stargell. You know, that 70s team, which was pretty good, you know, back before free agency completely.
Before they tested for speed and enhancement.
Yeah. I think guys self-reported at that time. There was
you look at them.
I know. I love watching old highlights of the games I used to watch.
You know, like Barry Bonds went from skinny to monstrous overnight.
I saw a photo of him without long sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. He was so big. He had to have done steroids.
There's no question about it. He had, because he was buffed. He was physically awesome for his entire life. But how old was he when he got really great? 30?
Yeah.
So he was physically awesome until he was 30. Then all of a sudden he turned into Arnold Schwarzenegger
Hulkamania,
plus.
Yeah.
That didn't happen overnight. Mm-mm. It didn't happen by going to the gym every day.
Nope.
But it wasn't illegal at the time.
No. Even in Jose Canseco's book, which he admitted a lot and told a lot of stuff, he was like, he's like, when he fully committed to the juice, he was training somewhere, and, you know, they're all in the Bay Area, or maybe it was in Arizona.
Right.
And Barry Bonds came up to him, and he's like, what have you been doing? And he was literally, like, about to take notes. I mean, he was like, what have you been doing? I need to get in on this.
I want some drugs. You know, if they were available when I was a young guy and I could have got better and bigger or whatever, I would have done it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like it's going to kill you. And it's probably not as bad for you as other stuff people took or take.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just all these guys in that era, they juiced up.
Yeah.
And it is what it is.
Well,
you know, the quarterbacks last longer now because they can't touch them.
Right.
The rules change, and I'm not mad at these guys for taking the drugs that was available, and they did, and they could afford it.
That's it.
You know, speaking of affording it, you guys at I was looking at something popped up about all these jets leaving Augusta, Georgia after the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
Like 850, I guess it's
like eight, private Learjets and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, kept coming and going, and they had to shut down the airport a little bit. So it was a small airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had to store the planes on the tarmac, on the run, one of the runways. But they showed all these planes leaving and lined up like a freeway. They're mm-hmm. all Citations. They're all small jets owned by mega wealthy golf players and their
yeah.
promoters. But it's amazing. I saw when Rory McIlroy won and he went and hugged his family. My first comment, Mr. Cynical, I went, well, a daughter of his, she'll never fly in coach. She'll never share a plane with anybody her whole life.
Right.
But yeah, it's, fuck, I don't know. Keep going. Performance enhancing drugs actually helped the Major League Baseball and football, I think.
Yeah.
It brought it out, it made it bigger, and now, of course, they got mad at it, so they canceled. Now you can't do it anymore. But
yeah.
Barry Bonds was just a freak. He wasn't a nice guy, I don't think. So.
That's universally what people say. I'll tell you, he's must-see TV. Every time he was up, I mean, there's about six Major League Baseball players throughout my life. When they come up, I stop what I'm doing and I watch their at bat. Shohei is the most recent. A couple of weeks ago, we were meeting the guy at Schooners where we're going to be playing Saturday. Smooth plug there.
I like that.
Anyway, and we're talking, and I go, "Oh, Ohtani's up, game winner against somebody." You know,
yeah, last week.
Yeah, it was on Thursday, I think last week, and I think it was Washington or something. But
yeah,
you know, he's just must see TV. Bonds was must see TV. I thought Reggie Jackson was must-see TV, because if he didn't hit it, he took a heck of a swing right. and went down trying, you know.
But watch Shohei's swings.
They're so compact.
They are, it looks like he's not swinging. At least
I know.
In slow motion. That home run yesterday,
uh-huh.
it looked like me swinging. No speed on it, but
yeah.
he's so strong. He just barely touched it. They said, I don't remember the numbers. I'm not that kind of a stat guy. But the speed of the ball coming off was incredible.
Yeah.
According to the announcers, and he didn't swing that hard, but he's just so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, he's must see.
Yeah.
Everybody's making fun of the Dodgers for paying him so much money. They made that money back before he played his first game.
I was going to say
they can't keep anything on the shelf, especially in Japan.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get you in trouble by raping somebody or spitting on somebody.
No, he's already. Went through his big scandal.
Yeah.
You know.
His guy was, he might have been involved with it too, so what?
Bah.
Yeah, he's must see. Last night he got a crank another home run, barely touched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is amazing, and he's probably the most famous athlete in the world.
At this point, I think he is.
Well, he's got how many millions of people live in Japan?
Yeah.
Just don't care about it.
And then he's at the number two market here, and yeah. there's Angel fans that still like him. I
yeah.
saw a lot of 17 jerseys at that
wow,
game. You
really?
Know? Quite a few.
Did you go on Friday night?
I went Saturday night and then Sunday.
Okay, because that's when Feed the Kitty played, Friday.
I remember. I had band practice. This week,
right.
we're not practicing. If it was this week, I'd go. In fact, Giants are in town this week, but I'm like, I can't sit in the cold air before a gig.
No, and whatever.
Well, it's kind of a cold week, so I'm kind of...
It's always cold. I'm tired of this. I am so sick and tired of this weather.
That's why I went to the Sunday game, because I literally paid for the sunshine.
It's May gray. It'll be in, what do you call it, April? Just April shit.
Yeah.
It's been lousy for the last 6 months.
Yep.
It gets foggy and cold, and they might go, Vera might go, wow, it's 100 degrees out in Riverside. Well, it's still 65 degrees and wet here in Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
So we can't be judged with everybody else on the weather.
Yeah.
And I know it's been like this before we were ever born. It was like that when I was a kid. I just notice it more now.
Right.
And I think it's because I've lost weight and I'm old.
Yes.
Get colder.
And, I agree. I feel it too.
And I try and dress appropriately, but it's just a pain. So when summer hits and we actually do get 100 degrees,
yeah.
my wife and I have a pact, which will probably break, that says we're not allowed to complain about the hot weather.
Right.
We have a fan over the bed, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
There's no air conditioning in my house. We're too close to the ocean.
Yeah.
And Pam likes that fan where it's blowing so hard it would push a 747 off the runway or into outer space. And here I'm freezing. Plus, if I have a fan blowing my face all night, it clogs up my nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I said, Pam, right now we have a heater on. Now you're going to put air conditioning on. That's our air conditioner. just because it's hot, I thought you were going to complain about the heat anymore.
Yeah.
It is what it is. She runs the house. What do I just, I'm just a tenant. I'm just there to hang out. What else we have? There's something else. Oh, the space flight.
Oh, yeah.
I actually, brightened up for a little bit. I put a comment on somebody's Facebook post.
Yeah.
But all these women go up there and say, well, at least you know, well, it's interesting. They'll probably get lost. They'll land at the wrong spot and they'll be late. Yeah, that's what courtesy laugh. My wife didn't give me any laugh. She goes, Steve, you want everybody to hate your guts, all the women? Okay, take it down. She proofread it first. I said, well, I just thought it was a joke. You know, your jokes sometimes don't go over that well.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not the effing mayor anymore. So, I stopped the other day like three times. Random people, some former Manhattan Beach cop. And
that's interesting.
A female, and she was at HT Grill, and she said, weren't you the mayor? I was Manhattan Beach cop.
Yeah.
I go, how would you put that together? Yeah, it was 8 years ago. But and then the guy, I was hanging with a guy named Kevin, his girlfriend, or his wife, was hanging up out front with a band.
Uh-huh.
And it gets a little crowded about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Other bands are done, and other fans come over to the HT Grill,
mm-hmm.
and that's when they say, you should have joined us. And I go, well, I don't do all these other bands.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm talking to him, and he goes, do you get stopped every... I got interrupted at least four times.
Yeah.
And I go, this happens every day. I just have to learn to live with it. But, people know, they know a mayor.
Yeah.
And they don't know a councilman. They don't even know a senator or a council or a congressman. They have no idea.
True.
State assembly, not a big deal. A congressman or a senator totally override a mayor.
Uh-huh.
Unless you're the mayor of New York City or something like that.
Right.
But it's amazing. People know what it is.
Yeah.
Kids know what it is. So I wonder if these girl astronauts know what it is. They got a little crap back to the astronauts. Katy Perry got down and kissed the ground or something, so somebody's making fun of her.
Oh.
They took a... Somebody put on there, they took a looks like a dildo.
A lot of people are talking about the Blue Origin and comparing it to various phallic...
Bunch of women going up there in a dildo.
You know.
Coming back and... But see, women actually... I thought it was kind of cool, because women will have fun and not worry about what you or me think about it.
Yeah.
They're giddy, they'll tell jokes, they'll giggle.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how cranky they are in real life.
Right.
They'll have fun together.
Yeah.
You put six men in there, we're all too cool to laugh.
Right.
Oh no, I'm fine. Everybody's you're scared out of your mind.
Yeah, you're
going
in space.
Up there. All you're doing is going up there, hanging around because the gravity hasn't kicked in yet. You're hanging around for 4 minutes and then dropping back to Earth.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. It's backed up. And but it's kind of cool if I had. What did they charge people?
I've heard various. It's a six-figure ticket. I've heard as low as $200,000, as much as $500,000.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more than that.
But it cost, apparently Jeff Bezos, paid for the whole thing, which always
He's
happens.
He's got $190 billion.
Yeah.
Is that 190? That goes up and down by a billion every day.
It does. But apparently this was about a $50 million launch to make this all happen.
With his money, that's like $5.
It is.
I do the math. It's way above my pay grade, but mm-hmm. how many $5 are in a billion?
And
he has billions.
Yeah, hundreds of billions.
Hundreds of billions, and every time some Amazon package goes out, he gets something.
He does,
and it's just now they're putting signs up: please tear down your boxes.
Uh huh.
You don't want to shove them all your full boxes in the trash can.
Yeah, well, that's common sense. I mean,
it is common sense, but people are. It's weird now. No one goes. I was talking to the chamber people the other day, Chamber of Commerce, and said, your goal should be to get people to shop with chamber members.
Yeah.
How would we increase membership or increase the business for members?
Mm-hmm.
I go, it's hard to tell them to go buy insurance from an insurance member or a real estate or something like that because everybody's got a friend that does that. That's no big deal.
Sure.
But when you're going to go out and buy something on the internet, get off your ass and drive over to the hardware store instead of ordering it.
Right.
And you're helping your local businesses
instead of
Jeff Bezos.
Exactly.
Which I have nothing against him. I mean, good for him. But you need to drive to go to the Redondo Beach stores. Like, there's, if you want booze, you go to that place up in North Redondo.
Total Wine.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a nice little drive from my house.
And it's about 20 minutes.
BevMo is closer.
Right.
I can be at BevMo in less than a minute.
Yeah.
And but we still, when we're getting, buying booze, we still drive up to North Redondo to buy, because it's Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
And but people choose not to drive, and our city is kind of long and spread out. And but you got to do business other than going on Facebook. I mean, or Amazon all the time.
Right.
It's amazing. I checked out some things on the internet this morning, and now everything I have is getting bombarded with it.
Oh yeah.
What is going on? I just.
You know, the AI and the tracking is so out of control, because at the end of the day, you know, you got X amount of dollars coming in and you got X amount of dollars going out. You know, you got rent, insurance, food, essentials. At the end of the month, you might have a little pile left over to have some fun with. You probably already know what you like to do for fun. You know, are you into fishing? Are you into baseball games? Are you into just fine dining and drinking and enjoying the local... You know, so whatever it is, we've already planned. If I had less, more money after my bills, I would go to more baseball, or I would buy a new shoe. You know, whatever it is,
right.
We already have that planned. And a lot of times we're waiting till we've passed the bills to get something, you know, and having them just shove these things in our face is just, it's just so annoying.
And you get them cheaper if you get the credit card.
Yeah.
No interest for a year.
Right.
But it's going to hit you here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, that's we've had a fun time trying to budget. I'll put Pam in charge.
Yeah.
Because I'm historically really bad at it. I mean, I'm a spender.
Right.
I spent more money traveling around the world than most people could imagine.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And just buying stuff. And I told Pam, you should take over all the finances, since. Let's see what happens when you do it.
Uh-huh.
And I just take a $20 bill now and again. I hardly use a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't figured out the real tally, but it's almost 5 months of no booze.
Yeah.
I think we could have bought a new car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're probably doing $300 a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out, that was a Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the band a couple times or whatever, and, you know, you get a couple drinks. And now they don't charge for clubs, so we always spend money on those tipping.
Yeah.
And it kind of cracks me up. I go, Pam, it's a Sunday night at HT Grill, and with us having a couple of drinks and maybe sharing a burger,
mm-hmm.
is usually $100.
Yeah.
And it's a thing, if you go to a same bar a lot, mm-hmm. and you know all the people, you tend to over-tip anyway, because you don't wanna, anyway. And we don't go there every day. But I said, Pam, we have probably saved, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
She's not drinking, and she only drinks expensive wine.
Uh-huh.
And expensive champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just weird. I drink the cheap vodka.
Yeah.
I drink the, whatever the house is, take it down a couple notches. I buy the no-name stuff. Anyway, it's just, it's that's our way to fight inflation.
Oh, yeah.
And then we, I self-taught, not really a pro, cut my own meat. I go buy the big chunks of meat.
Yeah.
I have all my fingers. But it's
a good thing.
Yeah, I know. Buddies that are meat cutters are usually missing a part here and
stubby.
There.
Stubby.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah. It's I would have cut my middle finger off by accident, and then I couldn't flip you off. So, I don't know. But, yeah, it's the cost of all this stuff is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump put the tariffs on the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Should have put it on Kentucky. So whiskey and Russia. Well, the vodka comes from everywhere now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it comes out of every known thing. Until a few years ago, I didn't know vodka was made out of. I thought it was all potatoes.
Yeah,
but it's not hardly any of it's potatoes.
Oh, and there's so many new things.
Yes, it's wheat and barley. I mean, wheat, and they just anything they can make vodka out of. It's just straight booze. So it's kind of funny. I'm going. Every time we go out, I go, yeah, it would be nice to have one.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make me go crazy.
Right.
After watching people have more than one, I'm going, oh, I'm good now.
Because
I do the same thing. But the people there and I at HT Grill, the people had never acted crazy.
Yeah.
They were acting crazy. And they were sucking up martinis.
Yeah.
And as Pam would say, not that I'm counting, but one of the bad habits of people I've talked to, a lot of them that gave up booze or on a sabbatical or whatever, they notice what other people are drinking.
Mm.
And so do I.
Yeah.
I'm not counting it for you, but I just don't go, oh my God, that's his 15th one. But it's it's kind of a good thing. But I get a little crazy.
Well, the thing I really notice is when someone's talking to me, and they might be just kind of being normal, but they'll repeat stuff. You know, how you doing? And then, you know, like 5 minutes later, so how have you been? How you doing? They'll just repeat things.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, yeah, I'm still doing good, you know. And it's so weird when you're not drinking and you see other people that are. And you just go, okay, I must have been like that too.
I realize what a turdball I can be when I'm not drinking.
Right.
It's funny because at HT, when we go to see Feed the Kitty, on Sunday afternoon, they start at 4 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually that our friend Dorothy gets the first one there. She gets a table right up front.
Right.
Which turns into, after 3 hours, turns into a community table.
I know.
Yeah. And it annoys the hell out of me. These people go to other places. And they're now, you know what I'm saying, not drinking. But now that they're totally sober, I notice, ladies, I know you listen to this thing, a bunch of them show up with their own little traveler cups.
Ah.
And the places where they're playing that we go to, I know the owners better than I know these people that are sneaking their booze in.
Right.
And I want to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that guy to tell on them, but
right.
they go to so many shows around. They have all these bands they follow. Anyway, they show up. They go over to the Lighthouse to watch this group and watch. Then they show up at HT Grill about 6:15.
Yeah,
for an hour to go, half hour, 45 minutes, and they are done. So the other day, one of the gals goes, Steve, does it bother you when we show up? But the shit show, she calls herself the shit show. The shit show shows up and kind of stands in front of you guys and takes your table. I said, it bothers the shit out of me. And she wasn't ready for that response.
Right.
I was standing in the back talking to another guy that wasn't drinking, and his wife was, she grabbed the tambourines and she was having fun.
There you go.
And anyway, I said, gee, this is ridiculous, but I didn't usually pay attention before. And it's kind of awkward. He goes, yeah, when you're not drinking, he's on the wagon, too. Mm-hmm. Got to babysit my wife, he said. Anyway, yeah, it's awkward. They show up, and they're wasted. And she said, you said that. You really mean that? You don't like us being here? I said, you asked me a question. I gave you an honest answer. Am I kicking you away from my table? No.
Right.
Did I tell you to move? No. I'm not complaining a bit. Does it piss me off? Yes.
You asked. Me. I didn't tell you.
I'm not taking it out on you.
Yeah.
Stand there the whole rest of the night. I don't care.
Right.
And because this gal finally figured out, and she, I get my ass in trouble. They have that pet project, that cheap perfume and wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the name of it. They're making it for a new album.
Yeah.
And I love the song. The stink you left in my bed is one of their lines.
Uh-huh.
The stink you left in my bed is cheap perfume and wine, and mm-hmm. But it's almost like that Rolling the Bob Dylan song where you know what a drag it is to see you. That real put down song about somebody he hates.
Mm.
You know what a drag it is to see you. That's a good impression. I should
do very
that.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a song that makes. Every line in the song is like, I hate you.
Uh-huh.
And you know the song.
Yeah.
And I go, that cheap perfume wine is about her. It's not really about her, but it's just like amazing. She actually figured it out because we were always drunk. You smell like wine, and you smell like really shitty perfume.
Yeah.
She takes our spot. And that's the thing where you notice when you're not drinking.
Yes.
And one of the guys there, and this is public knowledge, he was pretty funny. He's a great guy. Anyway, he had an issue with a friend who passed.
Mm.
And they're like 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he was really upset. And he proceeded to drop down a martini after martini.
Uh-huh.
And his wife was a little bit late. She had something else to do. So he came from Long Beach Grand Prix.
Okay.
He was partying all day, driving his very, very, very expensive white turbo fancy Porsche.
Sure.
Which just, it idles going 70 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I go, wow, I saw him. You drove your Porsche? He goes, can I give you a little advice? Don't drive it home.
Don't do that, yeah.
But his wife showed up, and she's never driven it.
Okay.
I went, oh, okay. Well, she's driving him home. And I was going to make a joke. Well, it's not an automatic.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think you can do both. It's such an expensive car.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going, don't drive home. Don't drive home. Because you're driving a Porsche. That's a target anyway.
Yeah.
But pounding down the the martinis and then dancing.
Uh-huh.
The guy never dances. It's funny. You know what? It's just, it turned into, it's weird. When you don't drink, you start watching people more.
Yeah.
And I asked Jed and Jack. I said, how do you do this? They go, well, and Matthew, none of them drink.
Right.
They all took the cure. And they go, well, we just, as the night goes on, it gets more awkward. We notice it. And everybody thinks they're funny.
Yeah.
And my take on it, and I've already cleared this with my wife, so I'm not talking out of school. Women, all you women, I can tell when women are drunk.
Uh-huh.
They like to rub their boobs on your arm.
Yeah.
Well, so many women that we know have Botox anyway. Bow, and I'm going to knock you over. One of these pro football players nailing you with their boob.
Uh-huh.
And my wife's always laughing at me now. She goes, why do they want, I don't really want to rub their boob on your, and they use their fake
yeah.
on your arm. And that's the drunk-o-meter.
Yeah.
You can tell. And she goes, well, they don't do it when they're sober? Nope, I don't think so. But I just noticed it. They do it.
Yeah.
Now you're going to notice it. People are going to, women, you just don't have to do that, man. Because we get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I can't look.
You're going to get blamed.
Can't you touch my boob. Yeah. Well, my outside of my arm, my elbow did. Or, they wear name tags purposely low right on their boob.
Yeah, so you have to read their name.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's awkward and fascinating not having cocktails. That's why I'm joining now. It's kind of a quest.
Mm-hmm.
I already proved myself I don't have to drink, so I keep saying, I will. We go out this time. I'm going to have a cocktail. I'm going to do this, do that.
Sure.
I said, that's fine not to. But it's just really weird how people are, you can go to a concert or go see your show. You have two beers or two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a show. It does make a show better. I'm one of those believers. Well, maybe I'll never do it again. You never know.
Yeah.
But it'd be a true test if I go. Told Pam I want one more dead show.
Uh-huh.
One more dead show before I die, which is to go to the Sphere.
Yep.
I'm going to try and hope they're playing when Jed's and the band goes up to the encore again and I crash that party. They'll play a dive bar in Vegas and then we can go to the concert. And, you don't want to see every square inch of their dome.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay $500 a seat. And no, not a chance in hell. If I was Jeff Bezos, I probably wouldn't pay $500 a seat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to see a concert. But I want to go one last time and see them. I'm told they're spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not going to go to Vegas just to see that.
Yeah.
I got to see your band first.
Cool.
Now, let's see what Pal Pam is. I don't know if I can drive, but she, kind of looking forward to doing nothing.
Yeah.
I know, you look at the clock. Oh, yeah, 10 minutes to go. I don't have my notes here.
Yeah, I got another show today, so.
What's your show?
I mean, it's another show from one of our other hosts.
Carl?
What's that?
Carl, Joan?
No, her name's, I forget off top, but she's kind of new.
Well, good. Okay. Well, by the way, I'll be gone. She won't. Well, maybe I'll see her.
Mikey, she's calling in. So.
Oh, okay. Mikey Jerome has a new song out.
Okay.
Rough Seas, it's called. For those of you who don't know, he's been on this show before, mostly with Feed the Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy. He got that.
He is.
And I downloaded his song into Spotify.
Okay.
And it's called Bar Famous.
Bar Famous, yeah.
And it's just about being a longtime bartender.
Yeah.
And he works at Hennessy's Hermosa and the bar I used to go to a lot in Manhattan Beach. I forgot the name.
Fish? No.
No, it's not. It's right at the end. I'll think about it.
Yeah,
I know. The same place for 50 years.
Right. That's super popular.
It's owned by Beverly. His dad was a congressman.
Rockin' Fish.
Nope.
Nope.
We'll think about it here. Anyway, he did this song. It's called Beach famous, and he's got this froggy voice.
Yeah.
He's like 6'5", the nicest human being you've ever met. He's very excited. He's very fun on stage. He plays during the breaks for yeah. Feed the Kitty sometimes.
Yeah.
And anyway, I played it enough where I put on Spotify, and I get in my truck in the morning, and they put this whole thing together. Every day I get a new set list.
Okay.
And because of the way you listen to music, here's your set list. Every yeah. day, a DJ comes on, and now, because you listened to them before,
uh-huh.
they were playing California Country Girl by Feed the Kitty. It's like a real big deal.
Yeah.
Well, every day for the last week I get Mikey Jerome starting off.
Wow.
At 6:30 in the morning on the way to the gym. I'm cracking up, and he's really good, a new song. But if you're on Spotify or anything else, the guy's Mikey, not Mike, Mikey Jerome, J-E-R-O-M-E, and he's quite talented. It's odd. I mean, he's not the Barry Manilow kind of singer, or Jack, right. you know, but he's got his voice.
He's got a presence.
He's always having fun, and I yeah. enjoy the hell out of him. So yeah. anyway, you listen to it, Bar Famous, and a new song called Rough Seas. And it's good. So, you know, see, I'm promoting other bands. I should yeah. push your band. What time do you play on Saturday?
7 to 10.
7 at 1.
And we start at 7.
You start at 7?
Mm-hmm.
You don't start at 7:20 and then take at 8:15 take an hour break?
No.
Okay.
We try to pack so much songs into our set that we yeah. get to the end of the set and it's like any more than 10 minutes and one of us is like, we got to get back up there
yeah,
if we're
going
to finish the set, you know, and get all of our, otherwise at some point we're like, we got to drop a song.
Well, breaks, I give you advice. Your breaks are bad for bands.
That's why we try to keep them to...
People live. You know, people leave.
I know. Short 10 minutes.
When the boys in Feed the Kitty see me come in, they usually go, oh, no break.
No break.
They know that Pam is going to hit the road, and because we know now that it breaks a half hour.
Yeah.
And that's just off the stage. And then it takes them 10 minutes to get their shit together to get back in sound. And then
yeah,
they play. Then it's 45 minutes later. So we don't, 45 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
So Pam goes, let's go. And right. I'm not opposed to sneaking out.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, don't take breaks. Just keep you. It's 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
By the way, my guitar, my bass guitar thing,
mm-hmm.
I'm playing with it. But it's really awkward. These fingers, they are numb.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I can't play. I try to do it again when my grandkids are there.
Yeah.
End of the day, I'm not letting them touch it. It's like Holy Grail stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they want to play.
Of course.
And I sit there and I watch you. I go a Saturday and I watch Jed's fingers just on simple songs. And you're not doing much.
Uh-huh.
But I tried it. No. It's like looking down at that guitar from your eyes when you're above it.
Yeah.
Doesn't look anything at all like when I'm watching you play. Those strings look so tiny.
Uh-huh.
They look like they're regular guitar strings from my point of view.
Right.
And they, whatever, just hard. But I'm not trying to be a rock star. Just
right.
move my fingers up and down. And it's quite funny. If I don't start using it more, I'm going to have to give it back. I feel guilty.
Don't do that.
You know, but it's, anyway, everybody, Jed's supposed to stop by. I go, no, I don't need a, I'm not going to. I'm not getting into it that fast, that much. I just want to be able to move my fingers up and down and make it sound something, you know, something that might be a musical sound,
uh-huh.
not just dump, dump, dump.
Yeah.
But it's you know, I'm mostly because of watching the bands and stuff, and I was out of it for a long time of admiring bands.
Right.
But, you know, without a bass, without a drum, it's really not any good.
You know.
You got to have bass and drums.
You do for the full band experience, but. I practice, and I practice along to the song, like on Spotify or yeah. something. But practicing bass without the band is pretty boring.
I bet it is.
Because, yeah. you know, it's just kind of basic. But when playing with a band, it makes the band sound better. It's a very weird
people
thing.
People take you for granted. They don't just assume because you're not mm-hmm. a focus. They're not giving you not a standing ovation for your solo. And drum solos get a standing ovation.
They do.
Now, if you play in some boogie band or, you know, the guy plays with his thumb up and down there, and you get a standing ovation. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't, but without just a guitarist by themselves, it's instant sleep for me.
Right.
But I just learned. You got to have a drummer, but you never have drummers in these small venues. I guess.
Yeah,
but
the clubs, they just don't want the noise. Bars don't want the noise.
I think the real reason, you don't want to split it three ways.
There's that too.
Yeah. They don't pay more money, do they?
No. You can have an 11-piece band or a one-person band. They're going to pay whatever, $100, $200, $300.
Jesus Christ. Well, I think you're probably right. Well, yeah. I know you're right there. You would know better than me. When I try to help feed the kid to get gigs, I don't get any money out of it. I negotiate higher value than that. Don't come on. You get $500, you get boom.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting
a piece of the bar at this show.
Jesus.
Which, for our band, it's better than like Discover Cashback, because we're going to get more rebates.
Most of your
as band. Far as a cut of the bar, we're going to do better than like if we were just paying our own tab and so got most cash
of your,
back.
Most
credit
of your
card
fans are big drinkers. Huh?
Well, the band actually, and I quit. But other than that, we played this one show at the Hermosa Saloon, and there was some guy who I think knows you, but he was talking. He was really into the band that played before us, and then he wrote a review on Facebook. I thought it was kind of funny. The other guys in the band didn't quite get it, but he's like, then came 5 long years. He's like, these guys are the real deal. They're like beer swilling classic rock and roll. And I'm like, yeah,
that's
exactly what we are. And one of the other guys like, and I'm like, come on.
You thought you were more dignified than that?
Yeah, come on. We're playing the saloon. This guy thought we were great.
You're drinking German beer, not Miller.
Right.
I don't know. That's we just assume every guy playing in a band's stoned.
Sure.
Doing something, drinking too much, doing drugs.
Yeah.
Which is not the case anymore, especially with the law the way it is. Are we done?
So we're going to wrap up. Okay.
You got to go. Well, I'll be back next week, hopefully. I'm having surgery tomorrow.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'll be at the hospital at 7 a.m. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. One hell of a city. Hey!